Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Kat, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm so excited to have you here today. Can you first start by telling me, how did you even find me or Organize 365?
Sure thing. So I had a friend about 5 or 6 years ago who recommended your podcast to me. And I started listening and, you know, I just heard all these ideas that had never occurred to me about organization and about time. And I was totally hooked. You know, I heard your first, you had so many podcasts on there already. I just had so many I could go back and listen to. So anytime I was cleaning the house or, you know, drive somewhere, I would just listen to an audio and come away with all of these new ideas to start trying.
Well, that is so awesome. Tell your friend I said thanks.
I will.
And I was talking to someone else yesterday and they said, you know, Lisa, you should remind people that you should tell your friends about this podcast if you like it, or about Organize 365 if you like it. Because have you ever been with a friend and you're like, oh my gosh, you look great? And they're like, oh yeah, I've been doing this whatever exercise thing or food thing or habit tracker thing for like a year. And you're like, for a year? You didn't tell me? Aren't I your friend? Like, you've been having all this transformation. You didn't even like clue me in. Like, please let me know. So this is just a little gentle reminder. Like, pause, go by like, hey, you should listen to this, and then come back and finish listening. So
true. It's so true. It's so true. Cause you know, there are always people in your life that share these interests with you. And, you know, I try not to tell everybody every new thing I'm doing because I'm always doing something new. And but it really does pay to tell your friends.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, your friends are your friends for a reason, because you guys have things in common. So you
might have this totally.
So thank you. So who lives with you in your household?
So it's me and my husband, Clay. We've been married a little over 10 years and we're both in our early 40s, and it's us and our two cats. We run my music school out of our home. We have a studio attached to it. So, you know, it's just me and him that live here, but it feels like a lot more people are here all the time because we have several teachers and, you know, lots of students coming in and out.
I love the idea of working out of your home. Like, I love that I have my own office now, but I remember, and I don't think I've shared this story before, but when I was in college, I dated a guy that wanted to have a bike shop. Like, he wanted to sell bicycles. Mm-hmm. And I would go to bed dreaming about being married to him and that we would have a bicycle shop and that we would live on top of the bicycle shop.
That's so sweet.
Like, it would be like a house, but it'd be like, I don't know why this place was in the middle of nowhere in my dreams, because I dreamt this over and over again. But like, we had a full-fledged bicycle shop underneath, and like, I was raising kids above and I was helping him with the business. And like, it was like a general lifestyle. Or I think about, you know, Amanda, when we listened to her podcast about how they are traveling across the United States and educating their kids. And she and her husband are running our podcast and a whole bunch of podcasts from that RV. Like,
so
I love the idea of working. We're all working and living one life. And sometimes it's in two different buildings, but when it's in one building, then you really realize how integrated your life is.
It really is. It really is. And we're so lucky to have bought this house before 2020, because when everything shut down, it shut down hard. And we transitioned to Zoom only lessons back then. But yeah, I don't know how I would have survived.
It's amazing what you could do on Zoom.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For real. It really is.
Okay. So why did you decide to start getting organized? Like, why didn't an organization podcast like even interest you?
Well, okay. So I have an admission to make, which is, I was like, when this podcast was first recommended to me, I was so full of hubris. I was like, I'm already so organized. I don't know if this can actually teach me anything. You know, because I've always had a drive to be organized. My mother, bless her, was quite the hoarder. And so there was just chaos in my childhood home and just piles and piles and piles of things. And so I started organizing at a very young age, just so I could like find my things and, you know, have some space in my room. And then that just continued so much into my adulthood. When Clay and I bought this house 5 or 6 years ago, we kind of started trending minimalist. Like we just started, you know, I started really organizing things and he got on board. And so that's kind of where the really big push to get organized started was when we brought our, previously I had had a studio in town. And then when we bought this house, we transitioned to having it all under one roof. And so you just got to be kind of super organized when you're doing all that so that you know where your pencils are for lessons and things like that. But then I, you know, I listened to just your backlog of wealth of information on your podcast. And every time I listened, I'd come away with some nugget that I was like, man, I've never thought about it that way before, or never thought about my, you know, my time in such a way, you know, just little nuggets here and there.
So tell me about your minimalism journey. I love the idea of minimalism. I just really like stuff. And like when I see other people that have like every single thing they have is essential and they love it and they want it for this season of life. Like I admire that, but also like I like to have some back stock. I like to have some extra. I also don't want to be bored. Like for me, I feel like if I achieved minimalism and everything I had was exactly what I wanted, then I like the project of organizing the amount of stuff I have and the multiple passions that I have. So I've never been a true minimalist. And I think that if I achieve minimalism, it's kind of like if you achieve perfection, then I'd be like, okay, well, then what's the next project? Like, I remember when we were waiting to adopt Abby and literally my entire house was organized. It was literally perfect. I was weeding every day because I had so much time. And I realized like, I didn't like reaching the goal. I liked the pursuit of the goal more than reaching the goal. What did you find? What have you kept and what haven't you kept?
First of all, that's just so smart that you realize that, that it's not the goal. That's the cool part. It's the journey towards it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever actually achieved true minimalism because I like stuff too, you know, but we really did trend that way for a long time. And then what I found was once we got really close to that goal, we had more freedom and more space for new things that interested us. Like my husband took up bonsai about 3 or 4 years ago because we had this house and this permanent space and because we made all this room for it that wasn't there before. And so he took up this whole new hobby and we're never going to be minimalist in our backyard now. Like
it's a tiny forest. So that's exactly kind of like what I have figured out on my own is minimalism to me, it's kind of like the combination of decluttering and organizing, the experiences that you've already had up until this point, and the work that is currently on your plate, so that you have more time for whatever is coming next. Versus how I was looking at minimalism, which is probably not how minimalists look at it. I was looking at it as in, if we could reduce everything we're doing as much as possible and get down to the essentials for living, then there would just be less work to do. But I think the truth of it is that life is work. It's paid work, unpaid work, hobby work, drudgery work. It's work. Like it's all different kinds of work. So it's not like you're going to eliminate work. You could just change the work that you're doing. And I think minimalism is a way to declutter and organize to get more time. And then you just start to not clutter, but you start to diversify and add.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been my experience too, is that once I got the house down to the point where I was like, wow, I'm really happy with this. Yeah. Like for the first time in my adult life, everything has a place. Everything has a home. I like it. I wake up and there's not, you know, clutter on my brain because I really need things to be tidy. Like the first thing I do every single morning is I tidy the kitchen because it's right in the center of our house.
Yeah.
And I can't just walk by it all the time and have it not be clean. But yeah, once we got down to where we just had our essentials and there was no extra work of upkeep of random stuff. Yeah. Like Clay took up bonsai. I started relaxing a lot more. I had a lot more relaxation in my day to day. It's made more time for better things, like not past things that we had been interested in that were no longer interesting, but it kind of allowed, yeah, freedom for new life.
So I love the idea that you tidy your kitchen every day. And I'm pretty honest on Instagram that I like do dishes 2 or 3 times a week. Now, I need to say, we don't cook every night. So obviously, there's not as much dishes as if we were making 3 meals a day. but also you're two adults cohabitating together and you both have been on this minimalism journey together and organization journey together. So I'm just going to assume that when you tidy the kitchen in the morning, 5 minutes later, your spouse doesn't go in and like create a big mess and just leave it there all day.
Okay. So my answer is going to be predicated on whether or not he's going to listen to this thing.
Okay. So we'll skip that. I'm thinking like in phases of life, like even now with Abby and the Grayson and whatever, like I choose to tidy the kitchen 2 to 3 times a week to my expectations, because if I kept it at my expectations, I'd spend an exorbitant amount of time doing it. So I have to purposefully change my expectation and just not even look at it so that I can make forward progress in what I want to do. So I'm just kind of justifying, like if you are tidying your kitchen 3 times a day, or if you're doing it once a week, like it's all about making a conscious decision of how often you need to do this in this phase of life for the environment you want to be living in.
Absolutely. And, you know, Clay and I, we do actually split the chores really, really fairly. And we have this system now where I have a ton of energy in the morning and I just want to go, 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 go. And he just wants to be on his phone. So in the morning I tidy the kitchen and then in the evening he does it. And so we call it cycling the kitchen. So the kitchen gets cycled at least twice a day.
That's great. Oh, I love that.
It really is nice. You know, when there's that sort of reset mm-hmm. twice a day, it just doesn't pile up and become a dishplosion.
That's a cool word. I like that word. Where did you hear that? Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So you were on your trend towards minimalism. You found the podcast. As a child, you created order in your life because there wasn't a lot of order around you. Mm-hmm. So what story do you want to share about, like, you mentioned having a lot of ahas listening to the podcast. What have you implemented from Organize 365 that's different, or how has your organization improved along the way?
Okay, so that's a great question. One of the biggest ahas that you blew my mind with was that organization is a compounding thing. So when you stop and just put pause on your life and you take the time out to create a system for something, you know, it's a lot of time and effort and work at the upfront, but then you forever, ever have that time later. So I then started looking at systems as an investment.
Mm.
And I just, you know, I don't do anything in half measures. So what I did with that was I, 4 years ago, sat down on the floor with a pile of index cards and I carded out every single thing that I am responsible for. In life, in work, in chores, random stuff. And then, I mean, I just wanted to cry. It was a big pile. But after I did that, I then took 5 other index cards and I wrote stop, just stop doing altogether. Mm. Batch, automate, delegate, and outsource. I think that's all of them. Yeah. So once I did that, I realized there was a lot that I was doing that I didn't care about and somebody else could have been doing. And I just put all of those in the stop pile and I did.
Okay, so let's just stop there for a second because I do that too. And I mention it, like I will say that you're going to fill up your Sunday basket. And when you're doing that for the first couple of weeks, by the time you get to week 6, and this is why it sticks at week 6, by the time you get to week 6, you're going to see the same thing in there for 6 weeks that you still haven't taken action on and you really don't even want to. And that's when you finally go, this isn't going to happen, and you throw it away. So that's how I do stop, like in the Sunday basket. But even before the Sunday basket, in my work, I do exactly what you talked about. I do it in the company also every quarter. Like when we do our 90-day quarterly conversations, which are not reviews, they are conversations. I always ask the team, like, what are you still doing that you don't think we need to do anymore? What is unnecessary? What's the thing that you least like doing? And then when they tell me those things, I determine, do I even need that done in the company anymore? Could somebody else do it? Could we automate it? Exactly what you're talking about. The stop pile is the most important pile. And I say it a lot, but I don't know if people internalize it when I say it. I say that Organize 365 helps you get your life organized so that you could do what you are uniquely created to do. I want you to eliminate as much as possible. Like when you go to get organized with your time, with your responsibilities, the decluttering is getting rid of as much as, like if you could get rid of it altogether, that is the biggest win, the minimalism win, right? Yeah. Then outsourcing, delegating, whatever. If you outsource or delegate, you still have to manage. So there's still mental work on you. The best thing is to say, we don't iron things in our house anymore. For the whole month of December, we use paper plates because we don't do dishes in December. Or like, you know, whatever. Like on Saturday, everybody buys whatever they want for dinner. And so we don't ever plan dinner on Saturday. Like making rules puts permanent these stop activities. So I just wanted to stop there and really give people permission. Like, what are five things you're doing that you could just stop doing tomorrow? And either no one would notice at all, or they wouldn't care.
I love that. And I think that, you know, we live in a society where there is just constant hubbub. There is constant pressure and things you could be doing. And there's a lot of pressure to just do, do, do. It almost feels like an act of rebellion just to stop.
Totally. I love it. It's my favorite rebellion.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. So you had the stop pile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the automate was the most, oh my gosh, automation. Holy cow. So I know.
It's a nightmare, isn't it? It's a nightmare.
It's horrible to start, but then once you get it started, it's totally worth it. Like I had to upgrade my website and get all of my students to sign on to tuition subscription, which is a recurring thing. So I didn't have to go to the bank and all of this stuff. It took me weeks, but I never have to do that stuff anymore. Never, ever again. So it was totally worth it.
Yes, we do that in the company also. And so I'm like, this is great. This quarter, we're going to automate whatever it is. And then like 2 or 3 weeks in, when I realize how much money I'm paying in salaries for us to automate things. And then we run into the hiccup and then you need to buy another program and then you need to consult a consultant. I'm like, oh, by the time we get to week 4 or 5, I just start walking around the office going, I'm going to be so happy 90 days from now. I'm going to be so happy 90 days from now. Like reminding myself that this is an investment 90 days from now. And I'll be honest with you. My goal is to just have our entire family bill pay on autopilot. I promise you, I've been working on this for 2 solid years and I cannot believe I'm still thinking about bills and when they're due. And like, if there's enough money in the account, it should just go. And it still doesn't. Like, it's just a never ending
hear you.
Thing to get automated.
We refinanced. Well, I had everything automated. And then we refinanced our house. And I was like, oh God, I'm still writing checks.
Yes. And then you've got to get that one, connect to the bank account. And then there's a fee. And then you got to make sure that amount is. And then that date is different than the other one was. I'm just like, I'm going to be so happy. Yeah, by the time this podcast airs, I think I'll be done with this project. I'm like, it's just, and it's the mental weight. It doesn't even take that long to do it either analog or digitally. It's the mental weight of the fact that this project is not done yet. And I don't have all of the, like when you're automating finances, it's not even like you could sit down and do it one day because you have to wait until you have the cash flow reserve for all those automations to just happen at will, not knowing what your energy bill is going to be and that money will definitely be there. Like, so I find that sometimes when you're automating things like that, there's a constraint in there that you have to, it takes some time in order for that reserve to build up in order for the rest of that automation to kick through.
It really does. It really does. It is a process. Like you always say, those things, they're an investment. It's a time investment. You're paying for it now, but you're going to reap the benefits for just forever after that until you refinance, you know?
Well, I don't think anybody's doing that right now, but last year.
But I did want to tell you that one of the, I don't know if you can see it back here, but I've got my Friday work box behind me.
Yes.
And I love my Friday work box. One of the biggest benefits that I got out of that was that I've been in business for 12 or 13 years and teaching private music lessons. And we've been growing. We've been growing, growing, growing. We've got 4 or 5 teachers, lots of students. And I was just getting to the point where I couldn't do it all myself. But, I was in that gray area where it doesn't make sense to hire anybody.
Yep.
And so I finally went to my husband and I said, you need to just quit your job and come work this business with me and also do your bonsai. And I am the big change fan in our family. Like I'm the one that's going to just go like whole hog, new thing. Don't even worry about it. It'll work out, you know? Yeah. And my husband is very much like, let's think about this. Let's take our time. And I ran the numbers by him, and that was cool. The numbers made a lot of sense. But Lisa, it was really when I showed him all of my pink splash pockets, and he was like, holy crap, Kat, you've got a lot of business ideas. Because it's not like I just had, like, you know, ideas out there in the ether. All of them have a pocket. All of them have little index cards that I've been dropping ideas into for a year, something like that. And so when he saw that, and it started like getting his gears going, like, oh, this is something we could do. And if I take email and administrative stuff off your plate, you're free to make those, well, he doesn't know this, but make them into purple splash pockets.
Yes.
He doesn't. Yeah. No clue what that means, but, but yeah, free to make those projects and make them things that give us more passive income eventually down the line.
Okay. Two things I want to talk about that. First of all, if you didn't have the pink slash pockets, you wouldn't have had the conversation. And I mean, the Sunday basket and the Friday workbox, they're not rocket science. They're also not a fortune. They're not free, but they're not a fortune for the amount of transformation they create in your life. Hmm. Being able to quantify in physical form the difference between an idea and an actual project that has a deadline and dollars behind it at home and in your work, it just makes so much visible first to yourself and then to your team or your support team or whatever. Like, it really makes visible the future potential before the future has actually happened. And it is those pink slash pockets that when a true entrepreneur starts to understand that all of the ideas they have are not in motion. And sometimes we live so much in our pink slash pockets that we don't have enough purple and money coming in that we can fund any of them. But if you are a manager, if you are a business owner, if you are a solopreneur, you are capped by the amount of hours in the day. And your brain will not stop giving you ideas and it will not stop evolving your business, but you are landlocked in the reality of today in your energy and your time capacity. And you end up extremely frustrated because you know the potential and the possibility of where you can go further faster, but you just don't have the resources at hand. But to go from a solopreneur or an entrepreneur with ideas to a team and then a support team for you is two leaps. So you did it the same way I did in my in-house professional organization business, but I did it opposite in my online business. So in my in-house professional organization business, I did just like you. I hired organizers that would organize and then I could grow the business, just like you hired music teachers who are teaching the lessons so that you can grow the business. But either way, eventually, if you are a income generating person, idea generating person, there are not that many idea and income generating people. That's why we wear people out when we talk to them. My cousin and I talked for 5 hours straight. And the first thing she said is, I wear out my friends. I said, I wear out my friends too. And the two of us could talk. We talked for 6 hours. I was like, I have got to go home because Greg is going to die. I was supposed to be home 2 hours ago. She's like, okay, fine. I have to go home too. My baby's need me. So we left, but we could have talked for 25 days straight and we would have not worn each other out because this is how we think. But entrepreneurs and idea people, we wear out our family and friends in 3 minutes. Like, Greg and I were talking for 30 minutes. And he said, oh, I'm so tired. I said, I've only been talking the last 3 minutes. He's like, but you talk so fast. You have so many ideas and I can't even comprehend. So when you are that kind of person, like Kat and like me, you know where your family, where your business, where everything is going to be 3 days from now, 3 weeks from now, 3 years from now, 30 years from now. Like, you have a general idea. Most people don't. Most people are just doing day to day to day to day. So you get frustrated as a creative because you run out of time and energy. And so then you try to get that time and energy by staying up later, by working weekends, by doing all of those things. And the only way to break this cycle is to duplicate yourself, not in the teaching capacity, in the administrative capacity. So how I did that was I hired a housekeeper. So I outsourced anything administrative at home. For a period, I hired out laundry. Then I got Pat as my administrative assistant, which pulled off all the things you're talking about. Then Stephanie became my chief of staff. And so inside of the company, Stephanie is Lisa. So whenever Lisa is traveling, whenever Lisa is out, they could go to Stephanie. She's in every single meeting I'm in. Like, she literally attends everything I attend. She is copied on a lot of emails when I am negotiating in different things. She does all legal. She does all HR. And at one point, I looked at our P&L and the amount of money I was spending really just to duplicate me with Pat and Stephanie and coaches and my tax advisors and my legal advisors, it's a third of our budget is just supporting me and what I do in the company. And then we have a third marketing and a third operations. And I'm like, wow, that is a lot of time resources, financial resources, energy resources. But there is absolutely no way I could have grown as big as I am now or go forward without that much of personal support. And I feel guilty about it sometimes. So I'm saying, if you're out there and you are a creative and you are a business owner, solopreneur, whatever, and you want to grow, yes, you need to have people like, you know, Monique's whole team runs the app, runs all the co-working times that you guys do. I need that forward support that you see. But behind the scenes, I have to have so much support so that I literally spend 60 to 70% of my work week recording this video. After this, I go to a team meeting. After that, I record a webinar. After that, I go to another team meeting for 2 hours. After that, like, I am in meetings all the time. I don't have time to do any of the administrative things I used to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You are on the right path. And it is the, I can't even tell you how many entrepreneurs I know that once they get the workbox going, they're like, oh yeah, my workbox pretty much should have no purple in it. It's all pink, blue, and green, pink, blue, and green. Because the purple goes to your team. And then your job is just to figure out how you make something purple enough for your team to take it and get it done. Because it used to be, and probably right now, you take it from pink to all the way purple and all the way done.
Yeah.
The more your team understands you, the more you'll be able to give them a pink idea that just has a dollars and a deadline behind it. And they will actually make all of the purple happen. And you don't even have to do that either. That's like the goal. And that's when you, that's
I know, magical. Right?
That's it's absolutely so magical. Let's be honest. All of this happens online. Like, none of this is actually happening. Like, here's your purple slash bucket. Read this and give the paper back to me. It all happens online, but it is the printing out and doing the index cards and putting them in that pink and purple slash pockets and being able to hold it up and then hand it to somebody and like totally give the whole project to the next person. And then they do it all digitally. It's the analog part of that organization that leads to the increased productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I mean, if you're creative, all of these ideas have been, you've always had ideas.
Yes.
You know, I have always had, yeah. Like you said, we wear people out. I totally do that. and so, you know, these ideas, they just don't stop coming. Right. And there is only one of me. So I do need a lot of support to help them come to fruition. And I'm so glad that I do. In fact, I really hope that my friend, my business bestie, Katie, comes on here too, because she recently...
Come on, Katie.
I know, right? I recently told her, I was like, you've got to buy a Friday workbox. You've got to get a home box. And not only did she do that, but she bought a workbox for her oldest boy so that he is learning the process of organization as well. And I've been helping her a little bit with her business, and she is just making amazing strides. But she is a creative also and just has so many ideas to keep dumping in there. And the great thing about it is you don't lose any. They're all in a place. And then they're suddenly all of these dreams that you have are not just in the ether. They're visible. Something about that transformation just makes you go, huh, yes. Okay, well, this stuff really is possible. It's not just in my head. It's a thing that can become a thing.
And then you take more action because you're like, well, I did it once. Can I do it again? And then you realize that like pretty much I can always do it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I love about the pink slash buckets for you now is that just because your husband is supporting you in your business and joining you in your business, it doesn't mean all the pink become purple instantly. So right. The pink slash pockets and like you said, not losing any of your ideas. We don't want to lose any of our ideas. That's why I love the pink slash pocket. I have like literally every thought I've had. If it's good enough, it stays in a pink slash pocket. When I need it, it's there. But then we have to grow the muscle because we're so used to just working more hours and grinding it out to get more done. We then have to grow the muscle of prioritizing the most essential pink to make purple in the smallest amount of time possible. So there are two ways you can do this. One, you can get a pink totally as fleshed out as possible, hand it off to your spouse, and then start working on the next pink. And when that purple is done, you give them the next one. So it's just this cycle like you have in the kitchen. Or you could do what I have people do as the planning day, and you pick for the next 90 days. Here are the 3 to 5 pink that are going to become purple per department. And then you do all of those. Now, I just want to let you know, a couple of those never become purple in those 90 days. That's normal. If you set 5 goals and you have 3 done, that's excellent. We in Organized 365 usually have an 80 to 90% success rate of something going from an idea to complete in a full 90 days. And then, Kat, you have to grow this new muscle, which is walking around going, I'm going to be so happy about this in 90 days. I'm going to be so happy about this in 90 days. Because once you give the pink to the team as a purple, your spouse as a purple, and he knows he has 90 days, you have to give him the full 90 days. You can't say 21 days later when you have another great idea, forget that one, we're going to do this one. Forget that one. I did that for a while. Your team, like, it's fun because they like growing the company with you, but also it's exhausting and they never are sure. Like, once they really put their effort into something, if you're just going to rip it away at the 10-yard line and they don't get to take it over because you have some new idea. So it allows you to add to your team so that you can move forward faster, but then you have to be even more judicious about the pinks that you want to turn into purple. And it's better to have 3 assigned and done in 90 days than 5 started and only 1 completed, because you have to remember the people who are completing the purple are not pink people. And they get all of their fulfillment from having supported you and made your vision a reality in real life. And if they don't get the fulfillment of that, because you just keep giving the next one, the next one, the next one, or tightening up the deadline and not giving them enough time to do it with excellence, it does not fuel them.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. And I think the biggest mistake that I made for, one of the mistakes I made for a long time was that I tend to assume everybody's brain is like mine. Yeah. Like, yeah. Not everybody likes to sit there and come up with systems for funsies, you know? And so, yes. Right. So you're absolutely right. Like, yeah. you're right. The people that I'm handing these things off to, they are purple people and I am the pink person.
Yes.
So that's a really good tidbit to remember.
And then often as your team starts to grow, so once you do this for, it's usually around, they have to do it a couple of cycles. After they do it a couple of cycles, they get to their 3rd or 4th quarter doing this with you. Then you will present your pink, like, okay, here are the 3 pink that are going to become purple. They then will start to speak into how to create this purple in ways that you hadn't realized. So say, oh, you know what? Well, if we do this, it's going to impact our audience in this way. So what if we also did this? Or when we did this the last time, we really missed the mark on this. Could we add this in? And they will start making it even better than you could have ever done on your own. And that's when you're like, game on. I need to become a better manager, a better leader, better at sharing the vision so that all of us can grow. I say to my team all the time, I did not name this the Lisa Woodruff Company. I named it Organized 365. And it is a conglomeration of the employees, the certified organizers, and the community that we have at this time, which is what Organized 365 is. Like, Kat, my podcast would not be as good if you hadn't come on and let me interview you. Because, you know, I've skipped almost all the questions we were supposed to talk about. But this conversation is allowing me to voice things that I've always known. You're getting a deeper understanding. And then everybody who listens is like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing too. I can't. The Friday podcasts are fine. The Wednesday podcasts are better. You guys tell me that all the time because there are 2 of us talking about this whole thing in a real life situation. So thanks again. And everyone else, apply. Apply and join us. Katie, I'm waiting. I can't wait.
But after we're done.
Oh my gosh. So Kat, what do you have more of now?
I have a lot more time. Yay. I know that's the most common refrain and people are probably sick of hearing it, but it's the truth. I have more time. And for me, that means I have more creativity. So just since my husband came on to work with me at our company, just him taking the administrative tasks off me, I got like 3 days of rest. And then one morning I just wrote out our 5-year plan.
Wow.
Just like that.
Because you had the margin to do it.
Because I had the mental space.
Yeah.
I had the mental space. And, you know, I can see how my investing in the Friday workbox and the Sunday basket allowed me to preserve my ideas, make more time for myself, have this conversation with my husband, convince him to leave his job, all of these things. It was like a snowball effect. And so now, you know, when I do my for in a workbox and I plan out the week ahead on Google Calendar, I leave myself lots of time in between the things that I need to get done because that's my rest. And I rest now, Lisa. I don't.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm not like doing random chores because I have a schedule for that, you know? Like, yeah. It's like you say a lot that your schedules and your systems prevent emergencies. And so I just, that's what I don't have now is I don't have a lot of emergencies. And that's wild.
And when you do, they just don't present the way they used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. Now when I have emergencies, like, you know, I've got my whole week planned out on Sunday afternoon for the next week. And if something comes up, all I do is just drag and drop or delete. If I just don't have to get something done, I can just see what it's, you know, how it's going to impact my time.
And so what are you going to do with this additional time? Like what are some of these pink things that you want to make purple? What's this 5-year plan? I want to work on another 5-year plan now.
Okay. So I'm glad you asked. Oh my gosh, I didn't even tell you this yet. We hired a marketing coach. I've never considered doing something like that before, but Clay and I were looking at all these pink ideas and summer things that I just don't know how to do yet. And so we're beginning work with somebody who is going to help me make a lot of my pink slash pockets into programs that are sold online. So
wow.
I know, I'm so excited. I'm so, so excited. But the first thing I'm doing is I've realized that since I need to hire so many more teachers, like we've got, you know, 5 now, but I need more. I need a way to train them in my methodology. And so what I've been working on is I fleshed out an outline of teaching teachers. I don't know what it'll be named eventually. I'm not a namer. I've been working on developing what I think is going to be a book or a program or a video series, all of the above. And that's going to be how I train my teachers moving forward. But I also want to make this available to others because I've got 13 years of experience in teaching beginner musicians. And that's like that's a special subset.
Yeah.
That's your babies, you know, whether or not they're adults or children, they're, you know, coming to you as musical babies. So that's my jam. And I want to share that knowledge with other people. So I'm working on that course to teach teachers and talk people through how to start up their own music studios from scratch. Once that becomes a purple slash pocket, my next project that I am just like, I'm spending so much time writing on that teaching teachers thing because I can't wait to get to this. I want to show people how to make songs, how to write songs in a way that's accessible because it seems like magic when you're just like on the outside looking in. Songwriting looks like, you know, you just get struck with a lightning bolt and then the song appears, but it's more like music science. And I'm a big, big nerd about music theory. So I want to make that really accessible to others. So that's going to be my next one in line.
Okay. I have things to say about this. First of all, what's the name of your business, your website? Like people are going to want to know.
Oh, cool. It's catstarmusic.com. KATSTARR.com.
Catstarmusic.com. Okay.
Right.
So here's what I don't know how to explain in words, but I experience in real life. And like you are like in your words, explain it. We feel like we have these to-do lists. And if we get our to-do list done, then we'll be able to have time to do our hobbies, which we don't even have hobbies anymore because all we're doing is trying to do our to-do list. So for years and years and years, I just tried to get all of the housework done so that I would be able to lay in the backyard and read books, which sometimes I do. But not usually. What I found to actually be the reality is once you can get your to-do list done and start externalizing your thoughts into work versus home, and then becoming a more organized and productive person, you could get more done. When you could get more done, then you get more time and money that you can then put into your house and into your business in order to make more forward progress. Once you get good at that, which you already are because you have 5 employees, plus now you're getting administrative help and your house is already organized, all of a sudden you unlock exponential time. You have unlocked exponential time. Now, when you unlock exponential time, I read 3 books on the back patio in 3 hours the other day. The first one I started halfway through, I was like, this thing is no. The next one was really big type. I got it done in 45 minutes. And the last one was really good. And I had it highlighted and done all that in 3 hours. The way that you process time is not normal. And what you could do with time is not normal. And you no longer just want to sit around and read a novel, because you realize that you now know how to move other people's time exponentially and that your goals can become bigger. So it's not that you move from 3 to 5 purples per month and now all of a sudden you're getting 50 done the next month. That's not it. It's that the 3 to 5 purple slash pockets that you get done per quarter in your business or in your home or whatever you're uniquely created to do become big. They become big. So like in our company now, we can launch a whole product in a quarter with a community that's associated with it and a certification. It used to take us 18 months to do that, but now we could do it in 90 days. And so what you do is you become faster at what you do and your impact becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. So these purples that you're talking, these pinks that are going to become purples, I mean, they are multi-year projects. And you are like running on a treadmill on these while your whole business is creating more income and you're onboarding more people and it's growing in revenue and it's growing in impact while you're working on this new thing. When this new thing gets thrown over into the company in whatever it's going to be, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, whatever it's going to be what it's going to be. So don't worry about the time. Once it gets in there, the impact gets bigger. You're working on this other thing. That's what happened with the research. That's what's happening with the books. That's what happened. Now I have like medical universities ready to partner with me on research. I'm like, okay. But if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't done what I did, these opportunities wouldn't be here. So the opportunities that are coming, you don't even know yet because you haven't achieved enough impact with what you're doing that you're uniquely created that other people want to partner or can see their company or themselves partnering with you and growing this forward. It's so cool, but I don't see it explained anywhere.
About that, because Katie and I talk about this all the time, how it just feels like magic. Like you just have this idea. Yeah. And like I was going through my Google Drive yesterday and organizing it, and I stumbled across the 6 month goals that I had set for myself last year. I think that's just my day-to-day now. What I had written down as my goals is just like how stuff is.
People are like, there's no way. Yes, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you, but the Sunday basket workbox and these planning day things.
Yeah.
People, it's you should do it. It's gold. It's like you will surprise yourself. You'll amaze yourself.
It feels like magic. It does.
It does. It's like I'm selling magic.
You are. Thank you, Lisa.
I'm selling magic, in case you're wondering.
Well, I had this vocal student the other day. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, it's really nebulous when you explain things to vocalists because it's all inside your body and you're just trying to describe things. And so I said, think about opening your voice a little bit. You know, I said this really nebulous thing and then she did it and it produced this wonderful tone. Mm-hmm. And she stopped and she was like, Miss Kat, all I did was just think about that. I don't know what I did. And I was like, yeah, that's how it works.
Our brains are amazing.
Yeah.
And they're trapped doing dishes.
Oh,
right.
To-do list. So much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let your brain be amazing.
And it really is like that. Like you sort of set the intention and then you work towards it. And then magically 6 months later, your 6 month goals are done. And then you set bigger goals. Yeah. It's so cool.
So what do you wish you had done sooner?
What keeps coming back to me is the word grace. And I have heard you use that word and that concept so much during your podcast. And I listened to your one where, you know, you addressed the idea of being behind on your organizational journey and how that's just not possible. That's not a thing. And I had been incredibly hard on myself for lots of years about, you know, cleanliness and stuff like that. Now I feel like we're in a very comfortable pattern with our house and everything's tidy and all of this stuff. But I used to put a lot of pressure on myself to have things be just so, or to feel like if I wasn't doing things fast enough in my business, that I wasn't good enough. But I really appreciate that on your podcast, you just preach grace, grace, grace. I think that's a really important concept for everybody. And again, it's like one that you don't necessarily hear a lot of in our culture. We hear a lot of achieve, 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 mm-hmm. do, do, do. But I think that if we give ourselves grace, that in its own way, you know, we've been talking about mental space and mental clutter. Yeah. I think that gives us a lot of mental space where if we're giving ourselves grace, we're not judging, we're not comparing, we're resting. And when you rest, when I rest, that's when I get my best ideas. And that's when my brain is like, here's what we're going to do for the next 5 years, you know?
And it's the opposite of what people are saying. So, I mean, I've taken every single goal setting seminar there is. Like, I love them. And I set huge goals and accomplish them. But when, and we've talked about the huge things that you and I have accomplished, but we did it through this lens of like, okay, how can we do these things? And the grace, I think that when you start by thinking, I need to create this huge impact in the world. What is it going to be? How am I going to get it done? Like, it's very stressful. You can't figure it out. But when you slowly start to automate, delegate, eliminate things out of your life that are no longer serving you in this season and open up capacity, your brain knows what you're supposed to do. Your brain knows what you're uniquely created for. I don't have to tell you, it's going to happen. Like, as soon as your husband came into your business, look at all the ideas that you gave. Like, almost instantly, you had a 5-year plan. It's eliminating what your brain no longer needs to do and then allowing it to just, it will just tell you. I explain it. And it happens through grace, not through will, determination, force, expectation, setting a monetary goal, whatever. Like, it just kind of happens when there's enough white space, when there's enough time in your schedule. And the only way you get that is from being organized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the grace piece ties in so beautifully with music, because all the time in music lessons, I get students who are like, I should be further along.
Right.
I should be sounding better. I should be able to play this at this speed. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter, because here we are, you know, right here at this moment with this, you know, these circumstances and this capability right now. So just relax and get, you know, be where you are and then do what you can. So I love that that's sort of echoed in your systems, and it's, you know, it shows up so much in practice as well.
And so is that what you tell people who are just starting out?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Because I know how nerve-wracking it is to be a beginner and to decide to get into lessons for the first time, especially for adults. We have about a third of our students are adults. And it's nerve-wracking because adults are good at everything that they do. And, you know, they haven't been in the learning mind space for years or decades.
Right.
And kids swim in that, you know, they swim in the gray area of not knowing all day long. And so when adults come in, usually what I have to tell them is slow down and just be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Because that's the only way to make any kind of progress is to really pay attention to what you're doing.
Well, Kat, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I'm
Thanks
so excited to hear about your current and your future success in your business. So exciting.
Thank you.
I just really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to be on here and talk with you. It's so great to meet you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.